Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Gimel, and we're holding the final line of Kuf Samach Veiz Omid Beiz, where the Gemara asks a shayla, Iboyelahu, Shnei Shitin She'omru. Yeah, everything okay? Hein Va'aviran Oidol Mehein V'loi Aviran. What is this all about? So you remember back on Kuf Samach Veiz Omid Aleph, we had a brisa, and the brisa says that if you distance the text of the shtar two lines from the Chasima Sa'edim, it's possible. If it's Shita Achas, just one line, it's kosher. And the Gemara asked, what's the difference between two lines and one line? So the Gemara said very simply, because when it comes to two lines, maybe he's going to be Mezayif, and he's going to go and fill in the space with, and Reuven owes $1 million to Shimon. New things that we didn't have before. And therefore, it's two empty lines, two black lines, blank spaces, no good. Frankly, more, but the same thing applies to one line. So, that's why we have that famous rule, Ein lemeidin b'shita achrayna. So even if they filled in another line of space. And you remember Rishbam said that he didn't write the hakol shor of a kayim, and now a person added in, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. Guess what? We're going to ignore that line. So how does it help if we have two lines? Because if you have two lines, we'll ignore the final line, but we're not going to ignore the penultimate line, that line before. Oyoyoy, and if Reuven writes in it, Shimon owes me $1 million, toignish. That's why two lines, if it's empty space between the end of the text and between the Chasima Sa'edim, the shtar is possible. Now the Gemara goes into real minutia, real details. Zok the Gemara, Iboilu, Shnei Shitin She'omru, that's Hein V'Aviran, Oidil Mehein V'Loi Aviran. Are we talking about two lines, two spaces where you could fill in two lines, plus an Avir? Avir means like a little sliver of line in between those two lines, just as you know. Take, for instance, when you look over here at the Ksav of the Gemara. Between the Hein V'Aviran line and the next line, Bar Yitzchak, there is some space in between. It's not a full space that you can fill in a brand new line. You'll notice it's only a smaller amount. Maybe it's half, maybe it's a third of the space that you need to write in the words Hein V'Aviran Oidelma. Then, until you get to the Bar Yitzchak, you have some space there. It's a relatively small amount of space. So the question is, when we're talking about the two lines of space that pasul the get or pasul the shtar after the text until the chasimois is at Hein V'Aviran, two lines together with this small amount of space in between. Taka, only two lines and nothing more than that, and that already pasuls. So Ranachmi Yitzchak the Svaro tells you, Mistabra the Hein V'Aviran. And probably it means two lines with a little bit of space, like in our Gemara, for instance, that between line one and line two, there is a small amount of space. Then the Rishbam and the Bach take out the next words, Shita Achas Plei Avira, and they just go directly, if you're talking about two lines without any space in between, what can you do with those two lines of space? What does the Gemara mean to say? So Rishbam explains, as we'll see in a moment, since you're talking about the theory, if there was no space between line one and line two, then the only way that you could write both lines without them crashing into each other would be to write with smaller font. Once you write with smaller font, it's nicker that it's not the same text as before. The text until now had font of ichweis, an inch, or whatever the sizes are. And this is now 0.8 of an inch, 0.6 of an inch. Why? Because you have to make smaller font, simply because otherwise the lines are going to clash. And Elamai, if you're going to go and tell you that, in fact, he's going to continue writing the exact same size of letters, the same font, then there will be a slight crash between the first line and the second line, or at least you'll see that it's denser, it's one next to each other. And again, says Rishbam, it's nicker the ziyuf, because you could see that the rest of the shtar is line of writing and then a small space. Line of writing, small space. And here there are only two lines of writing, there's no space in between. Oh, it smells fishy! So therefore it's clear, it's mistabra, that's the halacha. When does it pasul lishtar? Only if it's two lines plus a little avir in between. Shema mina, hein ba'avir, and shema mina. We'll just see quickly the Rishbam on the second line. Start from the top. Hein ba'avir, top line. Shir ksivis hashitim. The avir cholok pein time. You have the shir, the amount that you need to write two lines, plus some space in between. That's nifsa. Avapochas mikan ein a nifsa. If it's only two lines without the space in between, it's not possible. Says Imam Mistavra that it's hein va'avir. These all kadai to hein v'le'avir the ma'ichasi. Vali nikra ziyuf. Everybody can see very clearly that there is some counterfeiting going on. You have to write smaller fonts, smaller letters. So that there should be at least some space between line one and line two. Elamai, you're going to tell me, no, he's going to write normal. Meaning regular print, regular font. Gam ata nikraziyef. Then again, you'll be able to tell. Shein cholik bein time kishar shita shemishtar. The rest of the shtar has a nice consistent space between line one and line two and two and three and three and four and five and six. And these two lines have no space in between. Hey, something is wrong over here. The nikraziyef. So therefore, that's when the chachamim were mesak in this din that two lines spoil the shtar. It's two lines with a minimum space in between.
And if there wouldn't be a minimum space, and he did change the font, then Taka would be okay. In other words, or if he crammed them together so they're running one against the other.
We're talking about two different things. Number one, the amount of space that the Chum said puzzles. And number two, why does it puzzle? Because he can try to cramp the language in. So the question that we have in the Gemara is, are we going to be machmir and say that the amount of space it puzzled is two lines without any space in between? Or, no, that's kosher.
So
it's only if it's
inches,
more.
Right. 2.5 centimeters, or we're talking about how much actual physical space there is, no matter how he writes the...
Exactly right. To take with the rest of the text, what is the font? Is it 0.5 centimeters, let's say?
Let's say 12 pointers.
12 pointers. Okay, shkoyach. 12 pointers, that was the font. So now the question of the Gemara is the space that passes the shtar 24 altogether, 12 plus 12, or is it in fact 26, 28, epis in between to leave a little bit of space between the 12 and the 12. And what was we poshet? That in fact it's the larger shear, that it's got to be the 0.27 or a 28 or whatever, so that there's two shittim and the line in between, a little space.
That's opening the opportunity for ziyuf.
Now getting to the reason why is there a difference between 24 and 27? Because it allows for the potential zero.
I think it should be even bigger, because you got to leave a space from the top line where it finishes the shtar.
That's what Mark is going to talk about, actually.
Oh, okay.
Bill, it's so wonderful that you're with us, because Mark is going to say your word in another couple of lines. Another couple of lines with space in between. We're going to get to your point.
It's interesting, these Gemaras and the older Gemaras,
yes.
Because it was much more squeezed, a lot of times, because of the lack of space between one line and one or the other, the lamed would be bent over.
We're going to talk about lameds, Rabbi Isaac. All of these things will be addressed.
These Gemaras, they've reset all the types, so it does never happens.
Beautiful.
Anymore.
Baruch Hashem. I'm saying everybody's canine hara cooking with gas and fully charged this morning. Anyway,
in
continue.
They talk about the empty spaces and the dark and the letters and...
Everything is going to be addressed to Mi'at Hashem in due course. Okay, so bottom line is, when does the pasul b'shtar? Only if it's two lines plus the extra avir. If it's only two lines without the extra avir, the shtar is kosher. It's kosher. However, if it's hein v'aviron, not kosher, because then theoretically you could be mezayif. Reb Shapsi omer mishmei d'cheskia. Shnei shitin she'omru b'chsav yidei edem. Like Sav Yidei Sofer. What the Gemara is telling us now is that the Sofrim, being professional scribes, were able to write 10 size fonts, 12 size fonts, or whatever. The people that are signing down below are not such careful, meticulous, scrupulous writers and scribes, so typically they will write with larger font, let's say 18 instead of 10 or 12 or whatever.
John Hancock.
Oh, you see him at
I was once in Eder at Ksuva, and the rabbi said to me, he said, before you actually sign the actual Ksuva, practice a little bit on post-it first, just because people don't typically sign their name in Hebrew in America. And he said, you should just get comfortable to write
shimush.
Right.
You're 100% right. Here we're focusing on the size of the letters. What you're talking about is other things. Take, for instance, what happens if you have a name like Elio. Do you write it out, Aleph Lamed Yud Hevo, or do you write Aleph Lamed Yud with a shtrechel on top? When you go and write one's father's name, do you write Ben Reb, or you just go and say Beis Reish with two shtrechel? Things of that nature. Do you put the family name? So many of the people that are Masad Kedushin have their particular rules and regulations in saying that's why they want to see you write it out. Oh, you wrote it out beautifully, perfect. Right. Huh?
But they allow script. They don't require like shabashuras that we
correct.
Yeah, no, that's right.
That's a signature. That's a script is a signature.
Yeah, exactly. I don't recall seeing people write it with black line letters. The only ones that I see doing that are my kids, Einiklach. Who are
learning the alphabet
for the first time.
Sure, sure.
So until they get to the script.
I thought you used a fish.
That was Rob.
That fish, yeah.
Oh, that was Rob. That was
yeah,
Rob.
Exactly. Okay. Maybe Rob did it for that reason, not to have to distinguish between the block letters and script letters.
Is there a script fish? Or?
Anyway, let's go back to the script of the Gemara. And the Gemara tells us now, when we're talking about the two shittim, one in fact is the size of the letters. Says the Gemara, we're talking about a larger size, the size that Edom would normally sign. When he uses the term Edom, he doesn't mean Edom per se. He means the average, reasonable man, the normal person who's not a scribe. The reason why here first Ksav Yedei Edom, because we're talking about a space between the text and between the Edom who are signed underneath. And you're telling me two lines of space that you can write in. So are they the text type of font size, like you have at the top, because as those are smaller, a professional scribe wrote it, or you're talking like the two lines underneath, which by definition are somewhat taller, somewhat wider, to allow for people that are not scribes to go and write their John Hancocks, as you said. So what's the shiur? Look, the Gemara, Reb Shapsi tells us, they're a larger size, like Ksavi Yedei Soifer, and not the smaller size. My time. The average person who wants to go and do something fraudulent and counterfeit is not going to go to the soifer and say, soifer, can you do me a favor? For another $50, do me a favor, write in another line of space that Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. Why won't he do that? Says Rishbam, because he's afraid to do it. He's going to lose his panasa, besides perhaps be put in jail as well. See, your average, Rishbam says, the Gemara uses elsewhere the expression mirsis. He's afraid. I mean, after all, this is his business. He's a professional scribe. If he's going to go and play around and participate in all different types of counterfeits and frauds, you know, that's the last time they're going to ask him to be a soifer. So he's not going to participate. So who's going to do it? It must be either that fellow himself who wants to deceive and wants to commit the fraud, or ask somebody else. But he's not going to ask a soifer. So therefore, it's the larger font and not the smaller font.
You ever have Shapsi much? I know you have Shizbi. Shapsi.
Shapsi is rare. Usually have Shapsoi. But
Shapsi is the name of the person whose mother ate Erev on Yom Kippur. Shapsai the hoarder.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Yochanan's mother didn't eat.
But that's with the Shapsoi. The Mitzvah Masechta's Yuma, right?
Yeah, the 4th, 8th parak.
Exactly. Tozia. Anyway, Tzuki Mora Yetzvakama. What is, in fact, the shear now of the spacing? Now we're going back to the Hein Vaviron that we had at the top. How much space? And then I think it was Bill that addressed this already earlier. Amar of Yitzhak ben Eluza, Kigoin. Now you can read this any way you want. You can say, like Parshas Lech Lecha, or if you want, you can say Lech Lech, any way you want. Ze al gabe ze. Al makasar b'shnei shitin v'arbo'a aviron. You have to have two lines where you would write in the writing, and then you have to have four spaces altogether. What means four spaces altogether? Because what happens if you have the word lech, for instance, on the top line? So you have to have room for the top of the lamed. Barry pointed out that many of our gemaras, they have the lamed flat, the top of the lamed flat, if you see that it's getting into problems with the upper line on
the
top.
The older ones, they don't do it, these reset ones don't have it at all. Actually, I kind of miss it.
You miss sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a...
Okay, anyway, but the point is...
Throwback.
You can find the older gemaras. Yeah.
Tell you what, it's higher...
Yeah, it's the same thing. You never have
I don't think that's the reason.
That's not old enough.
The one and the four.
It's not old enough. You have to find, prehistoric.
Yeah.
Okay, we believe each other. Yeah, okay. You don't have to find a Gemara. The old Siddurim also have it.
Or Google.
Yeah, in Google, yeah. Anyway, so the point is, if you have a lech on the top line, so then you have to leave room for the avir, for the kepel, for the
tower.
Top.
The tower.
The tower of the line. Good, very good. So that's number one. Number two, if you have the lange chav, then you have to have room between that first line and the next line.
The cellar.
I'm sorry?
The cellar. The tower is in the cellar.
The tower is in the cellar. Okay.
The basement. The basement.
The only thing, if you call it cellar, people think who's selling to
whatever. No, sorry, it's the basement.
The basement. Okay, so you have to have the tower and you have to have the cellar of the basement. Very good. So now let's think about this simply. If you have the two lines, the first line has a lamed. You don't have to have the lamed chav for this period. For this purpose, you have the lamed, so you have to have a space on top. If the second line of that you're writing on has a lange chav, then you have to have an aver down below. So that's two. And now if you have in that second line, start again, if on the upper line you have a lange chav, and in the second line you have a lamed, then you have to make sure that the two do not clash with one another. So what happens if it turns out that the chav of the upper line coincides with the space of the lamed of the lower line? So you have to have a space for the lange chav, and you have to have the space for the tower of the lamed, so you need two avirin in between. So you need four avirin altogether. One on top of the first line, two in the middle of the first line and the second line, and one following the second line. So that's why he says you need four avirin. Reb Chiya bar Ami b'shmei d'ula amar, no! Ki goin lamed milmala v'chav milmata, al mekasav v'shnei shitun u'shloish avirin. Each one of these mandi omrim are just giving examples. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar is not saying that we're going to have lech, lech, or lech on the first line and lech on the second line. He's just saying you have to have four avirin, and that's why he uses the lech, lech, because that's a very vivid example that you can see. Oh, yosh, the top of the lamed, the bottom of the chav. So, Rabbi Chiya bar Ami, you don't need that. You only have to cheshbon a lamed milmale v'chav milmata. I mean, I agree with you, says Rabbi Chiya bar Ami. You have to worry about the kepel, the tower of the lamed, and the cellar or the basement of the lange chav. But you don't have to worry about lech lech. What does he mean by that? Alma kosov reshnei shitun ushloish avir. So Rishbam explains very simply. The top of the, above the first line, you still need for that lamed tower. Bottom of the second line, you still need for the lange chav. However, in between the two lines, what was your concern that the lamed and the chav may coincide? So just go and make sure in your spacing, adjust it a little bit.
Kerning, you move the spacing.
If there is no lamed,
the kerning.
Kerning, when you adjust the space between letters to make them.
Sounds like an engraver's term.
It's actually a typesetter's term.
I wonder where that came from.
It's a typesetter's term. It's a problem when you don't want letters touching, so you wonder what
you spell that?
K-E-R-N. Kern.
Okay, it's good to know.
It's a typesetting term.
Yes, okay, well, the point is, you're going to make minor adjustments in your spacing to make sure that the lamin and the chav do not coincide. If they don't coincide, then you don't have the problem with two avir, one avir is enough. That's why he says three altogether. Rebavo Omar ki goin Baruch ben Levi b'shita achas. He gives the explanation of Baruch ben Levi. Again, not there's a Baruch ben Levi over here. Again, it's just meant as an example, and the example is to show that you have the lange chav from the word baruch, and you have the lamed, the tower of the lamed, from the word levi, and that's on one line. What does that mean? Kosova shita achas ushnei avir. He holds one line together with an avir on top and avir on the bottom. Now, don't interpret this literally shita achas in shnei avirin, because we started off already yesterday in the brisa that only two shitin go and pasul. One shit is not a problem because we said that ein lemeidem shita achrayim. So therefore, there's a small little toisis over here. The toisis, you can barely see that there's a toisis. It's the third wide line all the way on the bottom, and you'll see right before the beginning of it, there's a small samach in the bach, and that small samach tells you, Asoise berevach, period, that's the end of the toises, and a brand new toises starts. And this should be in dark font. Shita achas ushnei avirin. That's the Gemara that we're just quoting now. What does this mean? It says, now toises have a yoisim ushnei shitin beloy avirin. It's somewhat larger than two shitin without an avir. You have to have an avir because we said at the top, it's shnei shitin mit an avir. So this is more than two shitin without an avir. Not much. you have to make slight adjustments because of the fact that you have the Boruch Ben Levi, that you have the Langechov, and you have the Lamed, but don't make a ganze shtick out of it. So you only have to make minor adjustments just to compensate for the larger Lamed and the small Chov, but Nishgeferlich. So it's somewhat larger than Shnei Shitin Levin. Others, by the way, say that this man, the Yomar Rebavo, disagrees with the top of the Amid. But the top of the Amid said, we have all agreed, the Stavra, it's Hain, the Aviron, and he disagrees, and he holds Taka Fila, Shtayim Shaloi Babi, Shnei Shitim Levi. But how do you measure Shnei Shitim Levi? And that's the same as Baruch Ben Levi B'Shit Achas. Having one sheet in between, and you have an Avir on top for the Lamed, and you have an Avir on the bottom for the Chof, you add that all up together, it comes out to Shnei Shitin B'li Avir, or slightly more than Shnei Shitin B'li Avir. Okay. Zog Marabaita. So we've concluded this shtickle now, talking about the amount of the space. Now, Omer Rav, that we said that two Shitim Pasel, Loishonu El Bein Edom L'Ksav, it really should be Bein Ksav Li Edom, between the text and the Chesimus Edom. Av Bein Edom L'Ashrata, Afilatuv and Amikosher. Ashrat is the same thing as the henpek. The henpek is the official stamp of approval of the Besdin. It's not a stamp, but it means that they write out a couple of lines that we examine the Ksiva Sa'edim, the Chasimoy Sa'edim. Either we examined it ourselves, or Edim came and told us that these are bona fide Edim's signatures, so we don't have to worry about that somebody counterfeited Reuven ben Yaakov's signature and Shimon ben Yaakov's signature or somebody else. These are bona fide, these are good. And the word Ashrata is a synonym to the word Hedbeck.
So notarization?
Notarization, yeah. Exactly.
But right, that's below the last signature.
Yeah, right below this, where does it...
Very good, very good question. So in your standard shtar, if someone, one of the two parties says, I want it to be notarized and authenticated and verified, that nobody should afterwards question the veracity and the authenticity of the Edom signing, so they write it immediately below the last signature of the second eight. However, what happens if somebody goofed and they had, in fact, a few lines of space between the final signature and the beginning of that handbag? That's what Rav addresses at this point.
Okay.
So lechatchila, you're right. As soon as the second signature is done, the next line should be, and we, the Bezin, sign Milmata, we have reviewed and we have inspected and we got testimony and verified and clarified and certified that this is all kosher Edom. They don't have to get involved in the text of what the shtar is all about, mm-hmm. the substance. They just have to go and doing the Ashrata, the word Ashrata comes the word to be Li Asher, to go and verify that these are authentic.
Shirekaim.
Hakoshorvakaim. Okay, so some. Anyways, so getting back to Mars. Omarat. Lo Yishon El Ben Edom L'Ksav. This two line rule, that the two lines passels, that's between the text of the Shtar and the Chesimus Edom. El Ben Edom L'Ashrata, once we're finished with Chesimus Edom. And now we go to the Hempig. Even though normally they would do one after the other. But if absentmindedly or whatever, they left space for three lines, five lines, eight lines, all to kosher. Why? What's the difference? Yeah, Maishna Manishtana. Maishna Beinim Leksav Dul Mizayit V'kosav Maidibo'i V'chasimi Sahadi. Just like you're telling me that between the Edom and the Ksav, I mean the Ksav and the Edom, what am I concerned about if I have two empty lines? Dilma Mizayit V'kosav, he's going to go and counterfeit and write in two illegitimate lines, because my devoy can write whatever he wants, saying Reuven owes Shimon $1 million, and the chasimis adi, the chasimis Edom already there. I don't have to go and supply chasimis because they're there, and they have these two lines. And on these two lines, all right, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. Second line, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. The last line we're not going to look at because ain't the made mesuk meshitachreina. And anyway, the last shitachreina, you have to repeat what it says before. I repeated it. Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. Ignore the last line. The previous line says he owes $1 million. Oh yeah, yeah. So that's why two lines are no good. And what about the chesimus edim? I don't have to add chesimus edim. They're there already from before. So that's the concern, and that's why it's possible. So, for example, if that's the case, ben in mashrat and nami mizayif v'kos ma'idiboy v'chasimi sahadi, you can have the exact same problem. Now, instead of v'chasimi sahadi, the Rishash and others are goyis umachtim sadi, which means, let's say, as you said, you can leave in, if you have in between the chasimus edim and the henpik, even tuvanami, yeah, 5 lines of space, lumashal. So you can go and write in 3 lines of space in between, in those 3 lines, Ruvain Oshim and $1 million, write it 2 times, write it 3 times, add other conditions, etc. 3 lines of space. And then underneath that, be machtim, insert brand new chasimus edim, and guess what? And then you'll have an automatic ashrata underneath it. That hempik will no longer relate to the first part of the chasimus edim, which was on the original text. It'll relate now to the second, or maybe it'll relate to both. But this seems to be a perfect etzah for someone who wants to do a counterfeiting business. You'll have back-to-back shtaris on the same page. The top of the shtar, the text will be, I don't know, about a get, or perhaps about a sale of a house. And then you have the two edim signed underneath. And then initially you had a henpek a few lines later confirming that these edim are kosher and fine and wonderful. But because of the 5 lines of space in between, he'll put in a brand new shtar choiv. And by the way, besides the get on top or the shtar mechir on top, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million and fill up another 2-3 lines with whatever you want. And then fill in 2 lines of chasimus edim. And right underneath that you'll have the henpek. So yivavai. You have the exact same concerns as the Gemara. Why does Rav distinguish between the text and the chasimai? Two, that's the maximum. Two is no good already. But between the chasimai's edim and the henpek, even 3, 4, 5, so 2, maybe it's kosher.
That's a Megillah you can write in.
Yeah, Gantz a Megillah, exactly. So it's not shver. Every Gemara demetayetle. There, in that space, down below, between the chasimai's edim and the henpek, what the Bezin is going to do is they're going to smear it with dioy. They're going to take some ink and they're going to go and fill up that space so we shouldn't have a problem. If you want to see exactly what means metayet lay, halfway down the Rishbam wide lines, umishani de metayet lay, metayet lay is the beginning of the line, halfway down, kaloyma melach lechoy bedioy. Take some of the ink in the inkwell or in the ink bottle and pour it out and then smear it a little bit. Then Yochalich the Meshim Ziv. Now you can't write anything. Avin Bohembek Lefanein, the Yesh Beshnei Shitin, Cholik Bloy Tiot, Basalu. Shloy Naskitin Chomei. Rav would agree that if between the Chasimus Eidim and the Hembek there would be 2 blank lines without any Tiot, it would be Basalu just like between the text and the Chasimus. 2 is no good. Then between the Chasimus and the Hembek, it's no good. 1 second. If that's the case, you're telling me that the reason why it's kosher when you have 5 lines between the chasimus and the henpek, because you shmir it, have the same eitzah. Why did the Gemara say in the Brisan, why do we repeat mit avir and 2 avir and 4 avir and the ganze geshef? Well, anytime that you find an avir between the chasimus and the henpek, take some ink and shmir the whole thing so that you can see immediately that nobody signed and nobody filled in and nobody wrote and you have no chashashas. So again, maishna, manishtana, the space between the edim, between the text and the edim and the henpik. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you're going to smear between the text and the chasimus edim, you're going to go and be metayitle, and then right underneath that you have the edim signed, amri sahadi atiyutahu to chasimi. Then people are going to say that these edim are not relating back to the text of the shtar, they're relating to the tiyuta, to this shmiratz. Why would you have edim on a shmiratz? They would be, if you will, negative edim. I might have thought that the purpose of the shmiratz was that underneath it there were legitimate terms of a legitimate document where it says Reuven owes him and Shimon owes him and whatever conditions and whatever. Somebody wanted to erase those. He knew that an eraser of ink doesn't work as well as an eraser for pencil. Oh, I have a better way. Smear a little bit of ink on top of it. Therefore, bring to Edom, and they will sign underneath, not explicitly, but by their chasimites, that this tiyuta was done under the auspices of the Bezin, it was done properly, and that we shouldn't think that there's any monkey business over here. The tiyuta is legit, and they were not trying to hide or cover up any ksav down below. Oh, so that's the reason why you can't make a tiyuta between the text And the Eidim, because the people will think that the Eidus is no longer on the text. The Eidus is on the Tuta. The Frate Mora. So why don't you say Ben Eidim Nami? Ben Eidim Lashrat Nami? Amri Beidina Atiyuta Huda Chasimi. Why don't you say the same thing? Maybe the handpick of the Bezdin underneath the Tiyuta is not referring to the Chasimus Eidim, they're referring to the Tiyuta itself. And they're saying, yeah, this Tiyuta is fine, it's good, we verified, we authenticated, we notarized, Altzidim Yishmak. Every Beitiyuta, Beidina Tiyuta Le Chasimi. A Bezdin doesn't sign on a Tiyuta. So the Rishbam says, when you have regular Eidim signing, not every Eid is a Baki B'Shas and knows our Gemara, and so therefore you could convince him, sign on a Tiyuta. Oh, you're okay, I'll sign, whatever, just tell me where to sign, I'll sign after I leave to work, I don't have time. Yeah, you sign. But a Bezdin is going to analyze this, and a Bezdin is not going to say, going to make a henpik on a Tiyuta, come on, give me a break. So any henpik that you have, by definition, relates back to the Eidim, so therefore, cover, you can have five lines of space, big font, 12 inch, 14 centimeter, whatever, and just smear the whole thing. And then if you see underneath that a henpik, a bezin, that henpik is not related to the tuta, it's related to the chasimais, and therefore that's why it's kosher. But if you only have two spaces in between text and between chasimais, this eights of tuta doesn't work, because if you smear it, then we're going to say that the edim are signing on the tuta, not on the shtar. Therefore, two lines of space, no good. But by between the Eidim and the Ashrata is your good. Yeah.
The language of the henpek, is it not specific to the text and Eidim that it is certifying? I mean,
and when you're asking a very good point. The choy, what the Gemara can answer is, see, if you look at the Rishbam says Beidina Atiyuta, about seven lines.
Ain darken lachtoim.
Ain darken lachtoim. They're not going to sign on a Tiyuta.
Right.
Avol Eidim Hakol Metzuyin lachtoim. V'fil Ami Oret V'asi Lemechsem Atiyuta. When it comes to these Eidim Amaratzim, you tell them sign. What are you signing on? I don't know. I was just asked to go and sign. I'm doing a favor. I'm signing the bottom. I don't know if this is a will. I don't know if it's a shtar mechira. I don't know if it's a loan. They just asked me to sign. It's under the tiyuta. I'll sign the tiyuta. Well, whatever. I don't even know what tiyuta means. Whatever you want me to say, I'll sign. But a bezin, much more, presumably, even if they're not the Gdoyli Hadar, but at least they have some idea of what's going on. So then they're not going to sign under tiyuta. So now Barry's inserting in the avir, in the parentheses, what Rishbam is also referring to is, look at the lashon of the henpik.
Yes.
The henpik is not just, we sign on the bottom, we three rabbis of the Bezdin sign. They go and say, we investigated, we verified, we notarized the signatures of the Eidim. By making reference to the signature of the Eidim, it's clear we're not talking about the Tiyuta, we're talking about the pre-Tiyuta we mean on the Eidim. The only thing that you can say is, well, maybe the Tayyonim that sign don't know what this Hebrew means and they just signed on the bottom. Do me a favor. They know what they signed on. They know that the purpose of the henpik is to verify and certify and notarize the chasimus eidim. So it's not a tiyuta business. It's a chasimus eidim. It's good. Fine. So far we're still with Rav. That Rav said two lines between text and eidim, no good. Three lines, five lines, 10 lines between eidim and ashrata is fine. But I have another problem. Maybe someone's going to go and take a razor or a scissors, many people say scissors, and he's going to go and cut off the entire text above. The What is he more asking? Again, we're talking about the space between the chasimois and the hempik. What you said, even if they left three, four, five lines of space, it's kosher. Why? Maybe someone's going to fill it in. Make sure you do this tiyuta business that you go and smear it. Block it off. Okay, very good. You remember Mendy told us a story, Yamasa, with Rabbi Shechter, Ruzan Gesint, and Rav Pamsker, and the Baruch HaLechaim L'chaim, that they made some sort of box or something to go and show that it's different. So in fact, the Toisis also, if you see Toisis the Matayat lay about 8 lines from the bottom, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, Benekudois, Oishurois, Shnikar, that Mechalik Ma'at, Nikar, Shaloi Mochak Nikar. In other words, it doesn't have to be Dafka Dashmirat, like Rishbam is saying. It could also be other types of indications that this is not to be
blocked off space.
So you can do it in the Kudois, Oishurois. That's presumably where they were coming from. Obviously, you'd have to see what Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam say. how halacha lemaisa, would they pass them like the Rishbam, they pass them like Toises. But apparently that was sufficient because you're saying that that's what they did. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara now. So says the Gemara, Icha ben Aitzah. What's the Aitzah? Again, an Aitzah for people that Chas V'Shalom want to deceive and to defraud. So what might they do? They can take their tiyuta, and just like you smear tiyuta by putting on the ink, you're going to go and take a whiteout or something else to erase all of that ink. Now, admittedly, when you erase a document that had ink, you can tell that it was erased.
Tampered.
That
it was tampered
with? That it was tampered with. That's the right term. What would we do without you? It's obvious that somebody tampered with it, because you can see that there was an erasure. It's not like pencil where if it wasn't written very, very hard, and you erase it, you might not even tell that somebody wrote anything. But if you wrote, or even if you smear with ink, to get the ink off, you take a shmata, whatever, you can see that it was tampered with. So, he's going to go and cut off the upper part of the text. Take that and put it in Gniz and Shemus. All you have left now is the tiyuta and the henpik underneath. He's going to erase that entire henpik. The entire tiyuta. Machagle the tiyuta. The kosim maidi boy, since there are, let's say, five lines, he'll write in three lines of text, Reuven owes the Shimon $1 million to be paid on Rish Chodesh Teves in front of Rabbi Fohan's Besmedish on 91st Street. He filled up the full three lines, and then on the bottom he has the two chasimois, and immediately underneath the chasimois you're going to have the hempik of the Besen. Really? So the entire shtar, other than the hempik, will be written on this erased paper, this erased cloth, write the three lines of the text, two lines of chasimois, and right underneath you have the henpik, and it looks great. So you're going to go and tell me, come on, who's ever going to go and approve of a shtar, which is obviously written on an erased piece of cloth? Says Zimor, no. The Omer Rav, the same Rav, who is the one that introduced the chilek between the two lines, and between the Eidim and Ashrata, that very Rav says, shtar habo, who the aid of Alamachak is kosher. What is Rav getting to over here? Obviously, if you had a shtar written out, and then somebody, and then the whole text, and you had Edom immediately, no spaces, regular text, Edom signed underneath, henpik, and then somebody comes and is moichik the whole text, leaves the Edom, leaves the henpik, and writes something new on top, that doesn't pass the smell test. You see immediately, how come all of this is mochuk? You see that there was somebody wrote something before, all oskemekt, and now two Edom, before maybe it said that Shimon owes Reuven $1 million, they were moichik, and they put Reuven owes Shimon $1 million, and now you have the Edom. That's not going to work. However, if you're going to go and erase the entire shtar, in this case, the ganze tiyuta business, and you're going to start from scratch, new shtar and new Edom underneath, so then it looks like a bona fide new shtar. You're just recycling the old paper. Years ago,
we're saying the henpik also.
No, the henpik.
No, he cuts the paper in half. The lower half.
Henpik, we're leaving the henpik.
And you leave the furniture as well.
In America, there used to be an expression, a penny saved is a penny earned. The new generation, with Derech Klal, doesn't know that. And that's why many of the young couples go and use on Shabbos these fancy disposable plastic plates, which each Shabbos costs them $10, $20, $50, and they are. Gentlemen, ladies, if you would go and take the regular plates and you just put it in, I'm not talking about Matzah Shabbos, having to wash it, just put it into the dishwasher and you push it against the thing, and then 2 hours later the whole thing is nice and dry and clean.
But you have to turn on the dishwasher.
You have to turn the dishwasher, that's very difficult.
That's because they spent $100 per dish.
Okay, exactly. Anyway. Okay,
you're
not married yet, so you don't know about all this modern thing.
So get one washing dishes? Yeah, I've heard of it.
No, this is bad for the environment, plastic, heavy plastic plates.
Why? You can recycle them.
They're not recycled.
Yeah, they are.
Let's go and talk about the green party.
They're all plastic.
Anyway.
Hard plastic.
It's recyclable.
Anyway, bottom line is, if I say, with all of that said, in the good old days, they respected use of money, and they didn't throw out money b'chdi.
Right.
So once you had a shtar, l'moshel, you had a shtar halva, and you have to go and pay the shtar in a year. The year went by, Baruch Hashem was all paid. Instead of taking the piece of paper and throwing in the garbage, they would just moichik the whole thing from top to bottom and start it from scratch and use it, recycle the paper. Yes.
It's not only that, I think we learned in Gittin that if because of the scarcity of cloth, you said at one point when we were learning Gittin that they were matur writing again, on non cloth, on other substances, because just of a shortage of cloth. And we live in such a world of abundance, it doesn't occur to us, but I mean,
say you had used cloth, question, you write out an elephant.
But generally speaking, halacha lemaisa. I remember we talked about it, that when could it be that you could write again on a piece of paper and it'd be kosher because it is so vulnerable to all sorts of deceptions and tampering.
Exactly.
But it's a question that we live in. It's a scarce world, and if you notice in all the older Siddurim with the small print that they have, it's also because print was expensive and paper was expensive and everything was maximized. That's why you also have all the abbreviations. All the abbreviations.
Exactly, to save money.
To say print in space.
You leave us out.
The old Mikros Gadolos, Shai. You see the old because you try to read them sometimes. As you age, you can't see the print.
What happens if people start tampering with
it? Hopefully they don't tamper.
Right, and so the same thing here. I remember at one point you said that Gittin Nashim, where they were mandated to issue Gittin Nashim on other things.
We'll get back to Gittin shortly, and Mitch, and we'll deal with the issues.
This is Gittin Pashut, so I figure it's Kedai.
Gittin Pashut. That's how Pashut is. Anyway, so bottom line, it says the Gemara, take your regular big shtar. It had the text. It had the chasimois. Says Rav, you can have 5-10 lines of space, and then have the henpik on bottom. What are you going to do with all that space? Shmir it with this type of future business. So Frank Gemara, you know what this is going to lead to? Somebody might coat off the top part, the text, with the Adam, put that away. Then underneath that we have all the tuta they're going to erase viciously and vigorously and vigilantly and all the rest, vigorously. And now you're going to have, instead of 5 gishmirta lines, you're going to have now 5 lines which are all mechukim. Write a brand new shtar, b'siyata d'shmaya, on this and this day, and what day of Kislev.
It's all erased. The whole thing is
With the exception of the henpik. The henpik
is clean, and the other one is tampered.
The henpik is original surface.
Yeah. Henpik is original surface. But the top part, since I cut off the rest of the shtar, so the only thing which is left is that tiyuta part. That tiyuta part could be 5 lines, 10 lines, whatever. Just erase the whole thing. Write a brand new shtar on that erasure.
The authority of the henpik will make it collectible.
And then the henpik will kick in on the top.
Who says Rav agrees to that? There's a shtar habahu v'yidav al hamacha kasher. That's what we're talking about, the henpik.
Well, that's going to be the Gemara's teretz. Cooking with gas. But the point at the moment is Rav Lishitose that holds that if you leave out 5 or 10 lines between the Edom and Ashrata, nothing to worry about. Shmir with tiyuta. Says Yimar, I'll unshmir the tiyuta. I'll write a brand new shtar, mit Edom, and I'll have the henpik on the bottom, and it'll be, a mana from heaven. It'll be a great shtar. But don't we have this problem, Rav? It's the chastira Rav on Rav. Rav, how can you allow for the 5 lines of tiyuta? It leads to these problems. Says Yimar, teretz number 1. Hanich l'Rav Kahana, demasi l'mishmei d'shmur, shapir. In fact, there was another girsa, not that here on the bottom of the Omer Rav Shtar Habahu V'Eidav Mechakas Kosher, it's Omer Shmuel Habahu V'Eidav Mechakas Kosher. Then you don't have a kasha Rav and Rav, because it's Rav and Shmuel. El Rav Tevyumi, the Masila Mishmei, the Rav, my Ikalameima. He holds up both a Rav, the first one and the second Rav. Don't we have a problem? Everything more Kosover, Kol Ki Hai Gavna, a Mekayman Oisim and Ashrat Shaboy. Elmana Edim Shabai. Meaning that although Rav on the bottom of the Omid said that if you have an erased piece of paper where you have the whole text and you have the Edim, it's a kosher shtar. However, vis-a-vis the henpik, if the henpik is written on regular cloth, we will not say that relates to the above shtar, but rather we're going to say, bring a new henpik, go and make a brand new kiyum of the Edom. Because obviously if the henpik is written on a different degree of klaf viability or life or whatever, you could see that there is a difference between the two.
An inconsistency. But
what
is the language of the henpeck attest to what it is? It's certifying. That's why I'm
you know, that's no, because it doesn't certify the name. It just says that the Adam signed above are kosher and fine and verified and beautiful and wonderful.
Not krovim, not psulim, not
the whole geschäft. Right, okay. Exactly. So, whether it says it explicitly or implicitly, but they refer to the Chasimus Edom generically. You don't have to specify Reuven ben Yaakov and Shmuel ben...
So the henpeck is dependent on the veracity of the Edom, not nothing else. The henpeck is only for the Edom.
That's correct. It's like a notary. Nothing to do with the substance of the shtar. So that being the case, Freiting Mora, we would have the henpeck and this shtar would be a kosher shtar. Don't we have a problem, Aliba de Rav? Says Yomara, no. In such a case where the whole thing was mochuk, and the henpeck was on regular cloth, then we will say, bring a new bezin to make a new henpeck, or same bezin, but the point is, we won't rely, we're not going to rely, oh, this henpeck, it's good, it's fine. No, you're going to have to go and reprove your case that these edim are kosher edim. That was Rav. What did Rav say? Rav was a tremendous makel in this halacha. The two bad lines are between text and edim. Between Edim and the henpeck, you can have 5 lines, 10 lines, kusha. Rabbi Yochanan is just the opposite. Mikotze el hakotze. Rabbi Yochanan amar leishono ben Edim leksav. Then it's 2 lines which pasul. Aben Edim leshrata afilu shita achas poisel. Then you don't have 2 lines. Even 1 line's going to pasul. Why? What's the reason why? I think we're going to go through a similar analysis like we did in the Amud Aleph. What's the reason why did you say even 1 line passed? I'll tell you why. Till Magai is li'iloi, maybe he's going to cut off the entire text of the shtar as well as the edim that appear there. The cause of, and now you have 1 line of space right between the edus and the henpeck, and he's going to write a 1 line shtar. The cause of who? The Eida b'shitachas, who meaning the text of the shtar, and the Edom is all going to be on 1 long line.
There's only 1 shita, it's a shitachrona though.
And it's also the shita rishayna. The kosova shtar haba, who the Edom b'shitachas is kosher. Wow. Now you ask, well, you can't look at shitachrona. He holds there is no shitachrona, there's only 1 shita. So if you have 1 shita, it would have to say on it, Reuven chayev l'shimin meya zuz lemushal, and then right after that, Reuven ben Yaakov eid, or even without the word eid, and then l'shimin ben Shloima, all in 1 line, finished. Very, very short shtar. And right underneath it, you have the henpeck. Since you have that henpeck, that's the cheshash, says Rabbi Yochanan. That even if you only leave 1 line of space, somebody might fill up that line of space with a one-liner, because of who the Eidu B'shita Achas, and underneath will be a henpeck, and therefore, also, because he holds as Ashita Achas, is kosher. Frank, Mara, Yehochim ben Edom l'ksav nami, dul magai is le'liloi. Why don't you say the same thing? You have those 2 lines, only 2 lines possible. 1 line is kosher, right? That's what we had in the Braisi yesterday, that everybody agrees to. 2 lines is possible, 1 line is kosher. Yehochim ben Edom l'ksav nami, he's going to cut off the entire text from before. The kosim my deboy, and he's going to fill up a one liner with that the Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. And you already have the chasimi sadi, the edom are there already from before, that you don't have to tamper with. Just let's leave those. You had 1 line of space we said is kosher between the text and the chasimis. 1 line is fine. 2 lines is no good. Aha, so if 1 line is fine, what happens? He cuts off the text. In that 1 liner, like we just said, now you're going to fill in, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million, and you don't even have to squeeze in the Edom, because you have 2 Edom there from before. And therefore, you're going to say that it's kosher. Don't do it. You should have to have even 1 line should passel. Kosova shtar habo, who? B'shita achas. The Edom b'shita acheres is possible. Meaning, if you have the entire shtar on a one-liner, we said, that's kosher. How could you have a one-liner? Reuven chayv Shimon, and then you signed over here, Reuven ben Yaakov, Shimon ben Shloima, whatever it is, all in 1 line. That is kosher. That's a chshash, that you can have that between the chasimus Edom, that shrat is going to cut it off. That's why he says, Rabbi Yochanan, even 1 line.
Because you don't have to read between the lines.
You don't have to read between the lines. Ay, ay, ay. So that's if it's on the bottom. But if it's on the top between the text and the chasimois, if you leave a one-liner, it's kosher. You don't have to worry. Great Gemara. Why is it kosher? Says the Gemara, since you're going to have the shtar b'shita achas, the edom you're going to have already there from before, when you have a shtar b'shita achas, and edom b'shita acheres, then it's possible, then no good. What would be the svara behind that? Why would you say b'shita achas, edom b'shita acheres is possible? When you have one shita, everybody, the ganze kitten kaboodle, the shtar, and the chasimois, you said it's kosher. However, if you have a line of text, just the shtar itself, and then underneath that two edom, then it's possible. What's the svara behind it? So Rishbam says something very interesting. If you look at the Rishbam, the first wide line, towards the end of the line, V'nir be'enai, tamishul dover, who? Tamishul dover. Who the Eda b'shita achas is kosher, you know why? The loy polygrab bonon, bein shtar godol l'shtar koton. The Chum didn't make rules and regulations how long a shtar has to be. Again, it should be 12 lines. But besides, again, any other type of shtar, there's no rule that has to be 8 lines, 3 lines, 6 lines, 10 lines. Even a one-liner, as long as it says what it's supposed to say, it's fine. They polygraph on the beach, shtar godel, shtar cotton. Shehe cotton posel, yoisim in a godel. They didn't say, no, this is a cotton, it's not bar mitzvah yet, it's only one line. And no such thing. So that's why it's kosher. Avim kulay b'shita achas, v'eda b'shita acheres is posel. What's the reason why? Behind the time of Dim Rinliel. Because here chik shita achas cholak bin shtar li edim kosher, and the time he can maskin because ein lemaiden mishita achroina, you cannot learn from the last line. Vimat oimer kosher, if you're going to go and tell me that it would be kosher, heicha de hashtar bishita achas, the eide bishita acheres, ikle meichish, the guy is leili iloi. In other words, as long as this is the final line of a text of 5 lines, 3 lines, 8 lines, 10 lines, so then don't you ignore what you write on the last line. You're not going to read it anyway. So then there's no problem. You have the whole text. You have that line of whatever it says, Reuven owes Shimon $1 million. We don't look at the Shita Achrayna. But that's only if you have a whole text and you have a line. But if you're telling me he's going to go and be guy, he's going to cut off the remaining, the earlier text. The only thing we're going to have is that line. Oh, there I'm worried that we're going to go learn from that line because it's no longer a Shita Achrayna. And you have the Edom down below. And you'll say, oh, it looks like a kosher shtar. No good. Steignisht. Therefore, that's why there's a difference between if you have all written b'shita achas, the entire shtar with the chasimois.
Because it shows there was a shortage of paper or something.
Exactly.
It testifies to itself.
Fine, good. Yeah, so that's kosher. However, a one-line shtar with two edim underneath it, that's suspicious. Maybe somebody cut it off, and this was really the Shita Achrayna, which you were going to ignore. You're not going to ignore anymore, because it's just a one-liner. That's no good. So, Freiting Mariet, Velechush, and we're now 5 lines from the bottom of the...
What do you want to do if one has a short document? I owe you $100, or you owe me $100.
Mm-hmm.
You
sign the same line.
You have to sign on the same line. You can't do it.
If you're doing the same line, you were fine. Right. You have no problem.
It's not that wide. This one, if he writes it below, puzzle.
If you write a one-liner in the two chasimas of minute, you got a problem.
I have more just here in New York. You have to maybe add a couple lines, so that makes it better if you add some...
Exactly. Have two, three, four lines. You say what date it is and what the address is and what the names are and the whole business.
And there's a lien on all your property, because otherwise it's tough suffer.
Okay.
So break the paper straight up, the 9.5 by 11, you do 11 by 9.5. What's that called?
Landscape.
It's 8.5. Okay, so you'll make up afterwards for that one line. Anyway, it's very more of a leichush, 5 lines in the bottom, 6 lines in the bottom. Leichush to mekosav hu, the edem shita achas, v'omer anna the rabbis be'edem hu di avdi. Ooh, you know what the person might do?
Even Aganef,
he's
been around the line.
Also, by the way, for success.
I see. They daven. Okay. Anyway, the point of all of this is, you just told me now, as long as it's all on one line, edim and it, it's kosher. It's only if you have a one liner and then you have the chasimus underneath, that's a problem. Oh, I have a wonderful idea. I'm going to fill up the extra line of space with a full shtar. Reuven owes Shimon $1 million, signed Reuven ben Yaakov and Shimon ben Shlaima, and then I'm going to have two more Edom underneath, and people are going to say, hey, this is strange. Super. You have two Edom on that first line, you have two Edom underneath that line. I especially wanted to have more Edom so that it should become a foursome that Reuven owes me $1 million. I don't want to rely on just two Edom, Chavra, Chavra, Islay. I want four Edom, Chavra, 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 so all in the mikvahs in town, it's going to go viral, everybody going to talk about it. Not only the 80th Street mikvah, the 90th Street mikvah, everybody will talk. Did you hear it? Reuven owes you. So then Lefaris, Rav Yishbam says, Lefaris and Misadover. That being, if you look at Rav Yishbam, four lines from the bottom. You think I'm nuts? I go before Edom. This is an important star. This is the most important star I've ever had in my life. He owes me $1 million. I want everybody to know about it. This should be Shabudim and all the Karkoyas and all the rest. So it should all, the word should get out. Says Imara, Kosovar, this Rabbi Yochanan holds, Koki Haigavna. Anytime you do such a Shmai Dry, that you have the whole star with two Edom on the same line, and two Edom following that. We're not going to rely on the original Edom, which was kosher, right? That was there from before. Then we're going to insist on verifying the Chasimas Edom on that one liner. As soon as we find out that the whole thing is counterfeit, then these Edom are going to run out of town, and we have nothing to worry about. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, if you're talking about between the text and the Chasimas, then two lines, passes, one line is still kosher. Because whatever you're going to go and do, people will notice that there's hectic, there's monkey business, even if you cut it, etc. However, between the chasimis and ashrata, then even if it's only one line, because he might write, cut everything off, write a one-liner full star from top to bottom, rely on the henpik down below, and therefore, that's why it's not kosher.
Do I often just hold up this tiyuta business between the... Between the one line, between the chasimus and the...
Maybe the Gemara will discuss that tomorrow. Today, the Gemara doesn't go today.
If you have two lines...
Everybody, have a wonderful day.
Two lines between the kav and the chasima is a passage.
Thank you. Sorry.